Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now, it's time for WEEI at Night.
And I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C. James. I'm the one who popularized rap music in the Western Mass suburbs in the early to mid-90s.
Tony Michelle.
I mean, they've been more relevant than Alicia Silverstone's acting career.
Chris Frail.
Kyrie Irving.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Next star here at WEEI, that, of course, is Mark with a C. James.
Mark. F-ing James.
Star for attention, fame-seeking loser. Ordinary Hayward.
I'm going to call him Brad Farrell.
Because he's actually Don Farrell without a ring.
And I think one
exactly. So your turkeys of the year, Barbados Belichick.
Kyrie Irving.
You can take the R away. He's turning to Chris Fail.
Mark James, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I called up, you know, Mr. Kraft, and I went over to his house, and I just said, and it was a funny time because we're all dealing with, you know, this current, situation, the corona situation that we're in. And, I went over and I said, look, I just want to say, you know, how much I love you and appreciate what we've done together. And I know that we're not going to continue together, but, you know, that thank you for providing what you have for my family and for my career. And then I was able to call Coach Belichick at the same time and thank him. And it was great. I mean, I wouldn't have had it any other way.
When did you decide,
you know,
I want to leave New England and I want to go to a new team?
I don't think there was a final decision, you know, until it happened. But I would say I probably knew before the start of last season.
You want to beat New England now. Can you imagine Tom Brady in the Super Bowl again? You're at Tampa and New England is the other team you're against.
I want to beat anybody I play. I want to just beat them. I want to beat anybody.
All right, hour two here. Mark After Dark, 617-779-7937 is the number to get in. The GOAT interviewing the GOAT. Howard Stern interviewing Tom Brady, which is the interview that everyone's talking about. Howard Stern, man, is going to find out if he interviews more celebrity sports stars, he's going to get even more ink than he would, you know, with somebody else because, you know, people like, he's getting a lot of publicity on this thing. A lot more than usual. A lot more than he would if he had, I mean, naming, you know, Tobey Maguire or, you know, who else, some other actor, Andrew Garfield or whoever. Emma Stone, you know, he's getting a lot more out of this Tom Brady interview. Overall, I thought it was a typical Tom Brady interview. A little bland, but he was very honest when he was asked about Giselle. But the thing that I took the most was when Howard asked him the question that one of the questions that everybody wanted to know when he knew he was going to leave New England.
When did you decide?
You know,
I want to leave New England, and I want to go to a new team. Like, when was that decision made?
I don't think there was a final decision, you know, until it happened. But I would say, I probably knew before the start of last season that it was my last year. And I I knew that, you know, it was just our time was, you know, it's, you know, our time was coming to an end.
Now, he also talked about somewhere in there, and I don't think we play this, but I heard this part of the interview too, where he just said he knew that he could not play at a higher level in New England anymore, which translation to me, quote, I was surrounded by a bunch of trash and garbage. Yeah. Because he made it all, he made it about, well, I didn't think I could play at a higher level anymore. But then it was more about, like, you know, for me, yeah, I just didn't have anybody around me. Garbage. Just, I had a complete trash around me. He said that. So that was another thing that stood out for me. You know, let's go to number 12, Brian. Absolutely no resentment toward Bill for not making me a Patriot for life. Because we all thought there was resentment. I mean, people still have resentment for Bill on this.
But Tom, isn't there some resentment on your part that he didn't make you a Patriot for life? In other words.
No, absolutely not. No, because this is a part for me in my life to experience something very different. And, you know, there's things, there's ways for me to grow and evolve in a different way that I haven't had the opportunity to do that aren't right or wrong, that's just right for me.
Okay, the bite that I was referring to is when Tom said he didn't think that he could continue to play at a higher level.
I know, I said this before, there's no bigger fan of the New England Patriot organization than me, you know, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that I was going to play, I could continue to play there at the highest level. And I feel like I want to prove to myself that I can still perform at the highest level.
Did you go over to Bob Kraft's house and sit there and say, hey, Bob, this is it. We're done. And do you call? I mean, where do you go to make that announcement to these guys who you've, you know, spent your whole career with?
I called up, you know, Mr. Kraft, and I went over to his house and I just said, and it was a funny time because we're all dealing with, you know, this current, you know, situation, the Corona situation that we're in. And, you know, and I went over and I said, look, I just want to say, you know, how much I love you and appreciate what we've done together. And I know that we're not going to continue together, but, you know, that thank you. You know, thank you for providing what you have for my family and for my career. And then I was able to call Coach Belichick at the same time and thank him. And it was great. I mean, I wouldn't have had it any other way.
Okay. You know what, Brian, before we get to the one that I about to call for, like that one, go to number 28. Stern uncomfortable in a nude locker room. Nude in a locker room. Yeah, it ends with about Gronk. We'll get to, yeah, that whole thing. Here we go.
Tom, the reason I never went into athletics, and I'm going to be totally upfront with you. A, I didn't get a lot of, you know, I didn't get a lot of encouragement, but also I was nervous in the locker room being nude. Honestly, I didn't want guys to see my penis. Was that ever an issue for you? Do you ever sit there and go, you know, in the beginning, like, I'm not comfortable being nude in front of other dudes and seeing their penises.
No, you get used to it. I mean, when you figure it out, every guy's penis looks the exact same. So
in essence,
you just, I mean,
you're telling me Gronk looks like
a man.
But you're saying Gronk didn't have, like, the biggest schlong on the planet?
I mean, I think Gronk is, I mean, that guy's like a Greek god, his body, and that guy's just jacked up. So he's got a great physique. So,
but the other players don't, but Tom, the other players don't goof on a guy who has a small, like, I have a really small penis. You know that. You're a fan. I can't imagine standing there and the guy's not saying, hey, did you see Stern? I mean, you know, guy's a great receiver, but Jesus Christ, I mean, what's going on there? He's practically a woman. You know what I mean?
Guys, you know, don't. Guys probably, if they're very, very well endowed, they probably get made more fun of than the other guys. Yeah. So the guys would hide it. And there's certain guys that would have to hide, you know, getting in the shower because they were embarrassed that because they were just you know.
Yeah, when I was in gym class, I always kept my underwear and shorts on, and the other guys were showering, and I wouldn't shower. I just stink the whole day in school. It was embarrassing.
I know. If you think about today's day and age, too, how different that is. Because when we were, you know, 25 years ago, it was so natural to do that. And now the idea of a bunch of people showering together, you kind of think, like, why are we still doing this? I mean, this is like, this is so not the way that it like should be anymore. Like, can we put up some dividers, please? And then you go into locker rooms that are newer and they have those and you're like, oh, this is so much more comfortable. So there was a time. It's actually funny because I think they still let reporters into the locker room. So it would be funny because Gronk would get naked and literally throw his towel over his shoulder and just walk through the locker room with all the reporters. And I would just laugh because, you know, Gronk, obviously, he didn't give a shit, but he's a, he strut through.
Huh. That doesn't surprise me at all. At all. So there was some funny stuff there as well. The interview would have even given more if Brady was in Howard's studio. But because he was at home, I think you were only able to extract the, like, Howard's going to get more out of you if you're there because you're going to be intimidated by his aura. I'm telling you, Tom Brady be more intimidated by Howard Stern in his studio than he would be being down five at your own 20-yard line in the Super Bowl with no timeouts left. And it's fourth and 16. He'd be more nervous about Howard Stern because you know Howard's going to, he's going to set you up. He's going to, you know, he's going to softball you. He's going to make you feel all comfortable. And then he's going to be able to get so much out of you. But that's, you know, that's what he does. So your thoughts on that? 617-779-7937. You know, we were playing the thing about Tom Brady talking about him and how uncomfortable it was between him and his ex, Bridget Moynihan, and how when he went, you know, he Giselle was his new girlfriend. I got a DM on Twitter. I won't tell who the guy's name is, but I thought it was really good, so I'm going to read it to you. I wish I had time to call in, but I've been stuck in the house like everyone in the world, so I just took a ride to the beach to get out of the house and listen to WEI. And I heard you play Tom's interview about having kids with two women, and that really humanized him for me because I've been watching this dude forever, and my sons idolize him, as do I. And you think he's just superhuman and forget that he is human, a man, and I have two sons from two different women. And it's a huge challenge because I have one son from a past relationship and 9 months. After he was born, I met my wife and I have a son with her. And it took legit a decade for us to all get together and get right for the kids. It's the most challenging thing you could ever imagine. It takes work, teamwork. And for years, I thought no one could ever understand the obstacles of this situation. And to hear that Tom made me feel so proud of me and my family's situation and what we have overcome. There's so much to the story, but I just wanted to reach out and say thank you for playing that, Mark. I needed that. God bless. So I appreciate you listening and getting something out of that. Yeah, I'm. I remember when I was living in Miami at the time when Tom broke up with Bridget and he was down in South Beach and she was following him down there in Miami because they were all reporting it all over Deco Drive and all the shows and all the tabloids down there. They were all reporting it. All right, let's get to the phones. Your thoughts on the interview. What'd you think? 617-779-7937. Nick in Boston. What's up, Nick? I know he's been holding for a while. Nick? Hold on. Let's just give it because he's probably got me on hold and he's probably listening to the radio. So we'll give it 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We'll put him on hold and then we'll get to Tony's up next in Providence. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Tony? How you say?
Good.
Thank you.
Good. I heard some of the interview. I mean, like I said, it was a long two hours, but the most thing that I want to tell you was done. You see, I got to tell Mark this. The big thing, obviously, was the headline was what we knew talked about before was the first beginning of the season. He knew he was not going to come back.
Yes,
and that was the takeaway. I think the big line of the night, I guess you can say, the soundbite. You can play that all night. That's the big one. I think, Mark, in my opinion, was when he said at the beginning of the season, because it wasn't fun. After the Eagles games, he didn't go on, obviously, in the plane anymore to go on. But remember, after the Eagles game, he was bitter and mad. That he knew in the end was near. You know?
Oh, sure, Tony. Absolutely. He definitely did. And, you know, he wasn't going to throw Bill underneath the bus. He was never going to do that. Right. He's not going to do that. Maybe behind closed doors with his close friends, but he was never going to do that. So,
of course not.
Yeah. But overall, so do you like the interview, though, Tony, what you heard?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, what was your thoughts? I mean, overall.
I thought it was, if anybody can get more out of Tom than anyone else, it's Howard. But like I said, it would have been better. You would have gotten a lot more if Tom was in studio. A lot more. But because he was, you know, on a line and connection, you weren't going to get as much. So that's the thing for me that I'll ultimately take from that.
Right. And also he mentioned about obviously the respect, and he had a good run in Foxborough, but he wanted to change. And he wants to show the world he can still do it. I think he can, and you agree with me on that. And I think he's going to do well. And you can tell that he's focused and determined. That's what I got out of that, too.
Yep. No doubt about it, man. No doubt, Tony. Appreciate the phone call. Nick's up next in Boston. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Mark. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I just want to say your Eric Bischoff interview, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was so entertaining. I loved it.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate that. And for those of you that didn't get to hear the Eric Bischoff interview, I asked the guy who nearly put Vince McMahon and the WWF out of business about 23 years ago what he thought of Rob Gronkowski's performance or lack thereof.
Great Rob Gronkowski last night.
I hated it.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric Fisher. I was waiting for the scarlet letter red pen to come out. I thought it was, and you know what I was even worse, Eric? Was when they put these huge sunglasses on him so you couldn't tell he was reading.
Yeah, it's just everything about it was wrong to me. And it's certainly no fault of Rob's. He did the best he could under the circumstances he was working in. And he was taking the direction he was given. And he was, you know, the coach calls the plays, not the players, generally. And that's what the coach wanted him to do. But for me, you know, it was because the open, you know, the music opening, America the Beautiful, that was so amazing. I literally had tears in my eyes when that was taking place. That was so powerful to me.
Yep.
It moved me very, very much. And then the big, you know, the intro, you know, the with, you know, the high production values, the kind of Game of Thrones Tampa themed intro they did was so well done. It was so big. And, you know, for the first 5 or 6 minutes of WrestleMania last night, I felt like I was seeing that big spectacle, important show. And then to drop into an empty arena and to see Rob Gronkowski dressed up like Paul Diamond from the AWA back in 1980s. And acting like he was at a party with, you know, 3,000 other people in a hot club when there was nobody there. It was such a fish completely out of water.
All right, that's good. That was great. All right, Nick, I had to get that in. Go ahead. I wanted people out there to hear. I mean, let me tell you something. Gronk, right? Like his performance last weekend at WrestleMania, both nights, was almost about as painful and bad as the coronavirus.
It was bad.
really bad.
It was really bad. I don't know if he would have done better with an audience or not, but that wasn't good. But I have two things before you let me go. I have a bone to pick with you, and two, I have an idea for fans in stadiums. So first, what do you want first?
Bone to pick with me. Let's go.
Okay. I don't like how you discount Eminem so much as a rapper.
Oh, okay. That's just a personal thing. Listen, I know he's successful. You got to appreciate like what his success was. I grew up and my thing was, you know, Nas, Tupac, Biggie, Eric B. And I mean, Rakim, KRS-One, Chuck D. And so
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm with you, but Eminem is, you know, hot. Like, he's not in his 40s. He's still, like, he's dropping albums that are just
amazing. I know. I know. Yeah. No, listen, he's very successful. Yeah. I just don't like him. That's just my personal thing. I have to.
Really?
I don't like him. I don't know. I'm one of those people that, I don't know. I'm not big on white rappers.
Well, can I ask you? Okay, I'm sorry for the follow up, but can I ask you, what don't you like about him? Like, I think he's just such a great lyricist.
Yeah, no, he is. He is.
Commercial value to the songs.
I don't know what it is, man. I just don't like him. You know what I mean? Like, it's just something that you don't like. I'm not a Jay-Z fan either.
I'm not either. I'm not Jay-Z.
But I do appreciate his success. That, like, come on, man. I just as well as I do. If he was Sean Carter and worked at some regular corporate office job filing TPS reports, you think Beyonce would ever give him a first look, yet alone a second look? I mean, come on, let's be honest. Right?
No, definitely not. But Eminem came up from the dirt, too, though. You got to remember, he was, poor guy.
No doubt.
But anyway, my other thought is, so fans going back to games, right? We know that's going to be very difficult. My thought on that is, like, let's say baseball, and we all know baseball is super boring, but let's say baseball is the first sport to start. Like, let's say they start in June. What's the harm? Like, the stadiums are so big. What's the harm in selling 100 tickets, right? And just have the fans sit in different areas of the stadium, right? Like, you could spread them out perfectly, and they could just, and then it'd be funny too if you could hear the audio from them yelling things at the players.
Oh,
spread out 100 fans.
Not a bad idea. If there's one sport that I could definitely do without fans, it's baseball, because baseball and I just don't need them at baseball games. But this will not happen in May. It will not happen. I also want to get to coming up as well. One of the things, Jeff in Manchester, Joseph in Newport, and others are on the line. We'll get to your calls. But I also want to get to the fact that this guy that had been rumored to possibly and still could come to the Patriots, and why something just happened, and it's not a bad look, but his timing couldn't be worse. So we'll get to that as well. And who does not possibly want the NBA to resume? This might shock the living hell out of you. It did me, and it probably would you too. So we'll get to that as well. Your calls at 617-779-7937. Now it's time for trending.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
I talked to Doug Gottlieb on the phone at home the other day, and I said, I'm LeBron James. I'm in my 17th year. I'm having an MVP season. My roster is just going to get older. I don't know how many more great years I have. I think LeBron wants to play, but I heard you disagree with that.
Yeah, I do, simply because, and you're right, like, the clock is ticking. The team's going to get older, but think about how we look at this season right now. LeBron is the MVP. LeBron has the Lakers first in the Western Conference. A lot of people will give him the championship or something close to. If we have no champion named this year, it will be the year of LeBron by default. Now, if they come back and play, he's at a major disadvantage. And it's not, you know, it's not because there won't be fans in the building. Nobody, you know, nobody's going to have fans rooting for him. No, there's not going to be any home court advantage. But he set this up in order for them to have home court advantage. He, at 35, he may not have looked like it, but it takes a tremendous amount for him to not look 35. He looks across the way, and he's looking at Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Giannis Antetokounmpo, all these guys in their 20s, and he's saying, okay, wait a minute. We got 2 to 4 weeks to get ready, and then we're going to play playoff basketball? I'm 35. The chances of that going sideways for me and the Lakers being the second oldest team in the league, it's a bad bet.
All right, that was Rick Bucher on Colin Cowherd. How LeBron James doesn't want the NBA season to resume. A guy who's going to could possibly win the MVP and another ring. Wow, that's shocking to me. And that to me obviously will always go where LeBron doesn't have the killer instinct that Michael Jordan does, that Magic Johnson did, that Larry Bird did. He wants to win, but not at all costs. And that will always be the biggest indictment of LeBron to me. The other thing I wanted to get to is this. Before I get back to the phone calls, it's 617-779-7937. The Ringer is launching a 6-part podcast series on Cam Newton, the free agent quarterback who today the current Carolina Panthers coach Matt Rhule said Teddy Bridgewater is better than Cam. It's entitled, the working title's called The Cam Chronicles. Now, Tyler Tynes spent the last 9 months recording the podcast, which includes interviews with his father, Cecil, former teammates, coaches, and journalists. It'll be available on the Ringer NFL show feed. So this has been something in the works for a while. It's just Cam, you don't have a team right now. You're releasing a new documentary podcast series. You don't have a team. You're currently unemployed. I mean, you know, and there's not exactly a plethora of suitors out there right now for you. So there's that. All your phone calls, you want to get in? You can get it on Rob Gronkowski and how bad he was this weekend at WrestleMania. Whatever you want to get into. Let's go to Jeff, who's been holding the longest in Manchester. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. About this Tom Brady interview, you know, I guess I was expecting a little bit more in-depth type of an interview, but like you said, he wasn't in studio.
By the way, Jeff, that hit me on the air tonight. That hit me. I didn't think about that today when I listened to the interview and I'd heard it replayed here and there and everywhere, but it hit me on the air tonight. Yeah, I'm like, that's why we didn't get the full all, tell all, you know, come to Jesus, because when you're in the studio, Howard has from a talk show standpoint, Howard is a seductress. He can get someone to feel they feel very comfortable. Hell, Tom Brady might have taken his freaking clothes off if he was in the studio. But when you're not there and you're doing sort of a, you know, you're gonna give a little bit, which he did today on the Giselle stuff and saying how his marriage was on the rocks and they had to go to a counselor. But you didn't get the, hey, you know, one time Bill did this. Here was a mistake too. Not a mistake, because I love Howard Stern, but just not knowing the sports thing, I would have asked him this. What about the quote from the Seth Wickersham article that came out a few weeks ago that said that after the loss to the Eagles in the Super Bowl a few years ago, when they got back to Foxborough and Bill addressed the team, Brady just stuck his head down and then he told several people in the building, I'm out of here. He should have asked about that. He should have asked him there. That to me,
I agree. I agree. You were missing that part of having Howard not be a sports guy,
right?
But I would say that I absolutely would say that Tom Brady's class personified. I mean, could we really expect anything less? He wasn't going to throw anybody under the bus, which is Tom's style, which is why we love Tom.
Right.
Which is another reason why I don't understand the kind of slowly seeping hate coming from some New England fans, where you wouldn't want him to win or wouldn't want him to succeed separate from the New England
Patriots. Have you heard or seen a lot? See, I haven't seen a lot of, or heard a lot of that.
I wouldn't say I've seen a lot, but it's more of like a feeling that's sort of palpable when you talk to different people. I mean, I know that, you know, maybe not on social media yet, but I talked to different fans of New England and some of my own friends that kind of, I wouldn't say out on Tom Brady, but they're sort of kind of looking the other way now. Well, you know, he's in Tampa Bay, and to me, he's still a Patriot. He'll always be a Patriot.
Oh, sure.
He gave us 6 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You can't sit there and say that here's a guy who gave you 6 Super Bowls, and now you want to criticize the things that you loved about him when he was here. You don't get to do that.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, like, that's the thing about it. And people are talking about, oh, he's been more brand conscious, and he's acting more like a diva, and he was, you know, he's doing this and he's doing that. It's like, dude, this guy gave you more than any athlete in the history of the city, not named Bill Russell. And with all due respect to Bill Russell, he didn't do it in the 50s and 60s against guys 6'3 and under who were called the pastrami king, as Michael Rappaport's great-grandfather, who were the pastrami king of Long Island. Tom Brady did it against the best competition, and he won his first 3 rings when you could actually hit the quarterback, too, and you could take his head off.
Yeah, another thing, Mark, to kind of switch gears on you again, is I think that the Patriots should, and I think they have a really decent chance of getting Tua in the draft. I really like to see them get him.
No, Jeff. Why? This guy is short. He's got small hands. He's lefty and he's injury prone. He peaked in college. That's why I call him Tua Tagovailoa, because he peaked in college like Tebow.
Yeah, you know, I think that everybody's kind of thinking exactly what you're saying right now, and I would say that somebody like that who obviously he hears the noise, he understands what his value is. I think he is a little bit overvalued, I'll give you that. But I think that when there's a lot of doubt put on somebody, you really get a chance to see who they are, and I think his ceiling is higher because of it. And I know it's kind of a crazy take, but I just think his ceiling is higher because of that. I just look at him as like a Russell Wilson. I'm not going to say he's going to be Russell Wilson or he's at that level. I just see him as that type of a player.
All right, I disagree, but I appreciate good phone call, Jeff. Joseph in Newport. What's up, Joseph?
Mark, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Very good. I think it's really hard to pinpoint the origins of the kind of tension between Belichick and Brady. And I know that you just mentioned the Eagles Super Bowl, and I don't know if you remember, because I have the broadcast that Fox had after Brady threw the touchdown in the fourth quarter to give them the lead, 33-32. He and Edelman walked back to the sidelines together, and the glare.
Hold on. That couldn't be true because Edelman didn't play in that Super Bowl. Amendola,
but yeah. They came back, and the glare that Brady gave Belichick, because of the way the defense was performing and because of Malcolm.
No kidding, really? See,
Oh, my God.
Oh, I gotta watch that. Oh, when they do, next time they replay it on NFL Network, because they replay Super Bowls, I've got to watch that. I got to see
Mark,
that.
It was awesome. It was so awesome.
Well, dude, listen, can I just tell you this? Like straight up, if Belichick pulled that ish in the 80s, when let's say he was the head coach, and he pulled that ish in the 80s, LT would have had him up against a effing locker and in front of the whole team, saying, you're going to put this guy in the game now. And Belichick would have done it.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it's sad because we never really got that. We never got the Ditka, Jim McMahon moment or the Phil Simms, Parcells moment when they're screaming at each other at the sidelines. That never happened. So
no.
It was always so hard to figure out. But I really think that, like you said, when he had his head down, I think at that point Brady was like, I'm not going to be marginalized anymore. I've earned the respect. And to me, the 6th Super Bowl was a gift because I really thought he was going to be gone after the Eagles lost.
Yeah.
I really didn't think he was going to come back. And I just think it's I really give Brady more credit on this because I don't think it ever could have worked out where he was going to come back. That was never going to happen, Mark. He was leaving, and I just think that it's the right move, I think, for both sides, because I remember Elway, his last 2 years with Denver, they put an arsenal around him,
yep.
And that wasn't going to happen.
They also had a guy who ended up, well, he was an MVP. He won an MVP. Elway's the first year that Elway won the Super Bowl, and then he ended up being in the Hall of Fame, even though I don't think he was worthy because he didn't put enough, but Terrell Davis. And they had Terrell Davis. They had Rod Smith, Shannon Sharp. Yeah, they were loaded. I mean, that was a Denver team that they had built up. The defense was better with Steve Atwater, who was also a Hall of Famer. So they had listen, I think for Tom Brady, it's a win-win. I think for the New England Patriots, it's a loss, period. At least this year. Maybe in 2021 it'll be different. This year, Joseph, the bleep is going to hit the fan, and they will not make the playoffs. Oh, I can't wait till the schedule comes out next month. They're saying no later than May 9th. They're going to release the schedule. Oh, I can't wait for that. People ask me, like, how are you doing a show right now? No sports. I'm like, well, listen, man. You got to be a professional. You got to do, I mean, this is why they pay you to do this. This is why a lot of people who think what we do is easy, but they don't realize that it's not easy, because if it was, everybody be doing it. Kind of like what Jeremy Renner said to Ben Affleck before they were about to rob Fenway Park in the movie The Town. He said something like, hey, if it was easy, kid, everybody be doing it, you know? So, yeah, you just got to, you know, thankfully today we'll get some mileage out of this the next few days on Brady and Howard Stern. But I think him not being there in the studio, it took what would have been a possible bombshell of an interview. Final segment next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
All right, final segment here. We'll make it a quick one. We'll have time for one phone call. So I appreciate everybody who called and listened and texted. Brian DeFelice doing another epic job producing. Let's grab KJ in Vermont, who will close it out tonight. What's up, KJ?
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking me. I called late tonight.
No problem. It's all good.
I heard someone said, how are you doing it? Because you're the man. That's how you're doing it. You're keeping us entertained with all what's going on right now with, you know, no sports going on, and you're still making it like the seasons are going. But so the Howard Stern interview earlier, I believe you know, Brady, he went into some detail about how his marriage was on the rocks, and I feel like Giselle gave him an ultimatum.
Sure.
You can keep playing ball, but it's not going to be in New England. I feel like she said, we need to take this somewhere else.
Interesting. You know what? You could be right on that, KJ. You could be right on that. I don't doubt it. You might, you know, I think she definitely wanted him to do his share of things when it comes to, you know, like him not, you know, being a parent to their kids and taking them to practice.
Right, being a family man.
Being a family man. So I know, we know, because he mentioned that, but you know, she could have. I don't, like, I think the thing for me was when they asked her, where's your husband going to be playing next year? And she let the cat out of the bag without telling you where. She goes, I hope it's somewhere nice. In other right. words, I hate New England. New England sucks.
And obviously, L.A., he wouldn't have worked with the Chargers.
No, and
wanted the Tyrod Taylor type quarterback, and he has that.
And kudos to her. Like, I heard she wanted nothing. She did not want to raise their kids in that cesspool of superficial, pretentious, plastic right. people.
And another quick thing. She said, well, he said that they started having issues 2 years ago, and wasn't that when he signed his last contract with New England 2 years ago? So maybe she said, you got 2 years to make it work in New England, then we're out of here.
Probably. Could be. And you know, it's interesting that you glean that from that. I didn't think too much of it, but yeah.
That's what I took from the interview was the marriage debacle. I know that's been the hot topic, but I think that's reading between the lines. I think that was the proof in the pudding right there.
Very interesting. And KJ, thanks for listening, calling. Have a great night. Same to everybody else. Again, thanks to Brian DeFelice for producing. I'll take a 22-hour break. Be back tomorrow night. Same bat time, same bat channel at 10 o'clock.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.